In addition to the Acts reading from the New Testament, the gospel lesson is from John chapter 14. Listen to this reading of verses 8 through 17. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because the Spirit abides with you, and the Spirit will be with you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm not going to speak long today because the real sermon doesn't involve any of my words, but it is seen and heard in the confirmation students, soon to be new and baptized members of the Church of Jesus Christ, for whom each of them today, it is their Pentecost. So imagine that in addition to Mark and Keith, Jason, Jasmir, Taylor, Ronnie, and Jordan, there is actually an eighth member of the confirmation class in our group, and his name is Philip. Now, Philip one day does something that at one point or another we've all done, in that he asks a question that as soon as it's out of his mouth, he wishes he could hit rewind and erase. Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us God the Father, and we will be satisfied." Now Jesus quickly replies, "Philip, are you kidding me? Have I been with you all this time and you still don't know me? I am in the Father. The Father is in me." My guess is that Philip did not open his mouth again for the rest of that day. But we can't be too hard on him. Just before these verses, Jesus has spoken about leaving the disciples, and that thought made Philip quite anxious. The early church that eventually composed this gospel could relate well to what Philip was saying and feeling. They were living in an in-between time, having known Jesus in the flesh, and yet in this early church, they were waiting for him to come again. In a very real way, we also live in an in-between time, knowing that the kingdom of God has been revealed in its grace and glory in Jesus Christ, but it has not yet been revealed in all of its fullness and power. Philip was anxious. Often we're anxious, because no one likes to be left alone. So Jesus heard that prayer, knew that heartfelt concern, and that's why to Philip and to the early church and to us, Jesus replied with these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Another one will be with you, whom I call the Spirit of Truth." Now in Greek, the word is paraclete. In English, we use the synonyms of an advocate, one who gives advice and support, or perhaps even better, the word counselor, the one who guides and comforts. Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth. When Jesus gave that answer, it may have sounded a bit too vague and nebulous to the disciples. It may sound that way to our modern rational minds. And it may prompt us to also ask a question like Philip that we'll regret as soon as it comes forth from our lips, saying, "Lord Jesus, the Spirit of truth, it's not enough. Show us God the Father, or at least you, please stay with us." To which Jesus patiently replies, "As I have been with you in my earthly presence, so now the Spirit of truth is with you in an abiding spiritual presence. Can you believe that?" In this in-between time, as Jesus was present with us, now God, Jesus, the Spirit of truth, remains fully with us, both now and forevermore. So if we can believe that to be true, if we can profess that and accept that, then the next question is, well, what does this Spirit of truth ask of us? Well, it's the Spirit of Pentecost. It blows over us and it stirs things up. It amazes us like streamers of color, tongues of fire, inspirations and heartfelt passions for justice and healing. In short, in this in-between time, the Spirit of truth calls us to be go-betweens. We're the go-betweens. We are to go to the people around us and to learn their deepest needs and take those needs to God in prayer, doing what we can to comfort and to guide and to heal them. And in the same way, we're to go to God and learn what God desires for this hurting world, and then take that message to the world, trusting that, as Jesus said, greater works than what has been done before will now be done in your life, in families, in communities, in nations, and globally. We are intercessors. We are go-betweens, bringing the suffering of the world to God and bringing God's healing grace to the world. As Jesus was physically present in the incarnation, now the Spirit of truth is spiritually present with us, beside us, within us. Now that's not just simply one truth that I'm able to offer you out of a broad range of truths that come to us from the culture at large. This is not something that you pull off a shelf at Barnes & Noble in the self-help category. No, this is Pentecost. This is the Pentecost Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth is a disruptive wind that blows where it wills. It's a tongue of fire that sends us forth, that challenges us to offer a word of faith in a largely unreceptive and deeply hurting world. Do you believe that? Bishop Gene Robinson, the now retired gay bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, whom we will be honored to host here in November, he titled his most recent book, In the Eye of the Storm. Now, the inspiration for that title came from a little bit of calligraphy that was given to him just prior to his ordination as bishop. Given to him as he lived amidst the death threats. Given to him amidst the reality that he had to wear a bulletproof vest under his clerical robes. And the calligraphy contained a very simple quote. It said, "Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God lets the storm rage and calms his child." Now that's a Pentecost message of comfort from the Paraclete, from the Counselor, the Spirit of truth for us intercessors. Sister Helen Prejean, the writer of Dead Man Walking, a longtime opponent of the death penalty, was just here in Pittsburgh, and she was interviewed on the radio station WESA. And at the end of that interview, she made this point. She said, Do you know what they write on death certificates after someone has been killed by capital punishment? Do you know what they put in the blank next to the question, cause of death? They write homicide, because one human being has killed another human being. Now, in Texas, they may write legal homicide by court order, but the key word remains homicide, brother killing brother. How morally bankrupt it is to stoop to the level of doing to someone the very thing we condemn them to death for doing to someone else. Now, that's a Pentecost message of justice from the Paraclete, from the Spirit of Truth. It's a disruptive wind. It's a tongue of fire in a world that neither sees nor often knows it. It's true. We're often anxious like Philip, saying, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the way. Show us what we're supposed to do. As we live in these in-between times, it's here that we hear the answer of Christ, that we're called to be His go-betweens, taking the needs of the world to our heart and to God in prayer, even as we take the desires and vision of God's justice and God's love and God's truth into a broken and hurting world, following the example of Christ, the eternal go-between. All of these going between movements are Pentecost movements. There are times when things get stirred up and blown forward by the Spirit of Truth. Because honestly, Pentecost was never designed to make things easier. It was designed to make things better. So I invite you to look well at Mark and Keith and Jason and Jasmir and Taylor and Ronnie and Jordan. I want you to listen to their words, hear their baptism promises and their professions of faith. And I pray that Jesus' own answer to Philip will be one that can comfort and convict our hearts this day. Because to Philip and to us, Jesus said, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will do far more than what I do, even greater works than these. If you love me, you will be able to keep my commandments. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Spirit of Truth abides with you and will be with you always. That's a Pentecost message. Amen.
Please join me as we affirm our faith, as we echo the words so beautifully articulated by our confirmands in their statements of faith and written on your bulletin insert. Through faith, I believe God is the creator of all life, of everything in this world. God is present in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God set up the laws of nature that the fundamental practicals of physics follow. God listens to our prayers. God is what makes us as a people us. God is love. God is forever. God's love for me is never ending. I believe in God's Son, our Savior Jesus. He came to earth to become one of us, taught us God's word, and then gave his life for all of humanity on the cross. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus heals the world. He transforms the world. He touches people. He created me. I believe that Jesus is not only my Savior, but also my friend. He will never give up on me, even when everyone else may have. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus represents the strength of God. I hope to model his forgiveness, giving, and his teachings. I believe that God in Jesus is alive and well and still works miracles, actively making a way through the rough places. I still celebrate Easter. I believe the power of God in the Holy Spirit is being poured out even now. The Holy Spirit is the part of God that is inside of me. The Holy Spirit connects us to each other and allows people to overcome barriers. The Holy Spirit is important to the church because it supports us through life and guides us, helping us sing, praise, and pray. The Spirit surrounds the congregation with love and affection. I believe that the church is our family. The church is a home, a place to praise together, to help others, to pray for each other, to eat and drink together, to laugh, and to deliver Jesus' message. The church is not a place to fight. Because of what I believe, I promise to be the best human being I can. With my actions, I will try to make a difference in this world and make of it a better place to live.